Please stand for our gospel lesson this morning. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. May the meditations of our hearts, what we bring this morning, our openness, may it be all an acceptable sacrifice to you, Lord. Open our ears and hearts to hear the word that you have for us, that we might continue to be who you are calling us to be. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. It's good to be back with you again today. It's been a few weeks since I've been here preaching with you, and so it's so good. I really cherish the opportunity to be with you in this setting and get to share with you a little bit about what God has been putting on my heart. And this morning I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this idea of praising God. If I were to ask you that question, what does it mean to praise God? I'm guessing that for most of us, the first thing that we would think of is singing, right? Music. When we sing praise songs to God, when we sing hymns to God, when we turn on maybe K-Love, Christian radio, whatever station you listen to, we think about these things probably most commonly when we think about the idea of praising God. And you know, you would be correct in thinking that. Singing is definitely one of the ways that we praise God. I think of all of the psalms in the Old Testament that talk about praising God on flute and lyre and harp and all of these wonderful instruments. I pulled one of many out. Psalm 147 says, "Praise the Lord. It is good to sing praises to our God." And so clearly singing is one of the ways that we praise God. I love what St. Augustine said. He was one of the sort of theological fathers of the ancient church. He said this about praise. He says, "For he who sings praise does not only praise, but also praises joyfully. He who sings praise not only sings, but also loves him whom he is singing to." This quote is often sort of abridged to a much simpler and more memorable phrase. To this quote, he says, "He who sings prays twice." Augustine really didn't say it that way, but that sort of captures the essence of what he did say. "He who sings prays twice." In other words, singing is both worship and it's a form of prayer. It is both praise to God, and it also brings us into communion with God. It's this sort of communication device that we use when we sing praise to God. And so when we think about what it means to praise God, one way that we do this is through singing. But I think you probably already knew that. You didn't need me to stand up here this morning and remind you that to praise God means to sing. This morning, our two scripture readings together, I think, show us that praising God includes much more than simply singing a praise song to God. In our first reading, we heard from Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 15 of that chapter, it says this, "Through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name." Now, there's a couple things to note about this passage from Hebrews. First of all, the author of Hebrews defines praise as an offering or a sacrifice that we make to God. So that's interesting. And then secondly, he goes on to define what that sacrifice is. He says it's the fruit of lips that openly profess God's name. And so we're kind of beginning now to get this kind of more fuller, robust definition of what it means to praise God. The author of Hebrews is saying that praising God is so much more than just showing up to church on Sunday and singing hymns. Praising God includes professing the name of God. But what does that look like? What does it look like to profess the name of God? The author of Hebrews mentions offering God our sacrifice of praise, but interestingly enough, nowhere in this entire chapter, if you were to read the whole thing, does he mention singing. I found that interesting. This should be strange to those of us who only view praising God as singing. Here in Hebrews 13, the author is talking about praising God, but nowhere in the entire chapter does he mention doing that by singing. So what then does he mention? The author exhorts his readers to love and encourage one another. We heard this in our first reading this morning, to show hospitality to everyone as if you were showing it to angels unaware. We are challenged to remember those in prison and those who are being mistreated. It almost takes on sort of a Matthew 25, that which you do to the least of these type of feel. We are told to do good and to share with others, for these types of sacrifices, the author says, are pleasing to God. These are the commands that surround this verse about offering God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. You see, what the author of Hebrews is saying is that offering God a sacrifice of praise goes beyond just singing songs. Praising God includes professing Christ's name to others by the way that we love them, by the way that we serve them, and through the words that we speak. Our words and actions are meant to bear fruit for God's kingdom as they point others to the Christ living in us. Our words and our actions are meant to bear fruit, the fruit of our lips, for God's kingdom purposes, because they're meant to point others to the Christ living inside you. That means all of our conversations in all kinds of situations with all kinds of people are continually to be what I would call praiseworthy. Right? Not just singing songs, but praiseworthy to reflect the love of God and our love of others. In our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 22, Jesus gives the two greatest commandments. Two commandments that he says summarize the entire gospel, all of the law and all of the prophets, he says, hinge on these two commandments. They're two commandments that explain for us all that God requires of us. And those two commandments are this: love God and others well. This is what it means to give God our sacrifice of praise. We are praising God when we love God and others well. Maybe you never thought of it that way. We praise God every time we do good to others. We profess the name of Christ when we share with others what Christ has done in our lives. We share Christ with others when we love others like Christ has loved us. Now, I think if we're honest with ourselves, every time we open our mouth, perhaps we're not always praising God, right? Maybe your professional sports team is losing, or you shank your approach shot on the golf course, right? And probably the fruit of your lips wouldn't be described in those moments as praiseworthy. However, that is, I think, one of the challenges here. Maybe I think about this as I traveled this weekend. Maybe you travel to your in-laws for the holidays, right? We all know how challenging it can be to spend a weekend at the in-laws. Does the fruit of our lips profess the name of Christ in those moments? Do the thoughts that we think and the ways that we conduct ourselves, the ways that we speak to others, our coworkers, our spouse, our kids, is it praiseworthy? Do we continually praise God by bearing kingdom fruit with our lips, or do we only profess the name of Christ when we sing praise songs on Sunday morning? You see, God wants our sacrifice of praise. Not just in our singing about Jesus, but also by our being Jesus to someone else. By living out Monday through Saturday, the name of the one who we praise on Sunday, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when I hear Jesus explain these two greatest commandments, or I read this challenge in Hebrews 13 about praising God through word and deed, these verses speak to me sort of in the form of like this challenge. And I begin to ask myself this question: how many of all the words and actions that I said and did this week witnessed to the truth of Jesus Christ living inside of me? Was it 1%? 10%? I hope at least 10%. 50%? Was half of the things that I said and did, at least half, did it bear witness to the truth of who Christ is in me? Maybe it was more than 50%. Maybe I had a really good week, right? And it was more than 50%. But for me, I read that as a challenge. How many of all of the words and actions that I did and said this week witness to the truth of Jesus Christ living inside of me? You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and we are moving into this holiday season of Advent and Christmas, and I don't need to remind you or tell you that the journey from Thanksgiving to Christmas can be pretty hectic. It can be a time of craziness. We've got end of the year sales going on, right? You had Black Friday. Maybe in work, your year-end reports are due. We're busy with family and friends. We're shopping, visiting, a whole host of other things. Indeed, the journey from Thanksgiving to Christmas has the tendency to bring out our worst at times in terms of praiseworthy words and actions. However, in the church, the journey from Thanksgiving to Christmas is meant to bring out our best. We sat around tables this past week and hopefully thanked God for the many blessings in our lives. And as we move into Advent, we prepare our hearts for Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, to be born anew in our lives. This liturgical season is meant to bring out some of the best of who we are as children of God. This season is meant to be a season of gratitude and thanksgiving and transformation. It's meant to be a season of praise. And so my prayer is that this holiday season we might show God how thankful we truly are for all God has done for us by giving God our sacrifice of praise. Lips that continually profess the name of Christ through our words and our actions. And you know, I'll be honest, that's a tough thing. It's not easy. But you know, I think that's why the author of Hebrews calls it a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice because it takes concerted effort and commitment to live this way. I have to be intentional about continually praising God with my lips and through my words and actions because that's not who I am by nature. But thanks be to God through His grace, with the help of His Spirit, we can get there. We go through this journey of being sanctified through the power of Christ in us, made available to us through the Holy Spirit. Friends, we can learn to show God how grateful we are for what God has done for us. His grace poured out for us on the cross. We can steward our salvation well. We can steward God's grace in our lives, this gift that we've received. We can steward that and learn to steward that well in praiseworthy words and actions because God's helping us, because God's power and strength is working in us through the Holy Spirit. Love God by loving others. Praise God by serving others. Profess the name of Christ by sharing the light of Christ with others. This holiday season, show God how thankful you are for the gift of your salvation by bearing good fruit through your words and deeds, with your singing and your living. This is how our lives truly and completely make a joyful noise to the Lord. Amen.